And we've got three absolutely wonderful speakers here today. And the first is one of our most distinguished journalists, Polly Toynbee, who has worked on The Guardian since 1977, is that right? An author of many remarkable books, including an exceptional book in 2003, Hard Work, Life in Low-Pay Britain, where she worked herself at £4.10 an hour on the minimum wage. And her new book, which has been extremely well reviewed, is An Uneasy Inheritance, My Family and Other Radicals. Polly Toynbee.
Thank you very much, Harry. I'm afraid I'm going to talk about myself. And this is, by way of being a memoir, my book. But it's also a book about class. In all of its fine gradations and all of the ways in which people differentiate themselves and how important it is and how often people try to hide it under the carpet or pretend it doesn't matter anymore. And yet it's in some ways more important than anything else. I mean, as part of the work of this book, but also it came from a BBC series I made called The Class Ceiling. I just started asking everybody I came across, whether they were distinguished people I was interviewing or whether people I met in the street, can you think of the first time as a child, a young person, that you became aware of your own class, either because you were crosser than someone or because you were less cross than someone? Can you think of times in which you felt the injuries of class, if you like? And everybody, absolutely everybody, has a story. Everybody knows exactly what you mean, and they can describe it, sometimes with pain, sometimes with humour. I mean, for people who are middle class, finding themselves a bit embarrassed and repulsed, that's a minor insult, much worse than numbers of people who are working class and got looked down on or neglected or not counted or discounted in some way on account of their class. But it's a very fascinating conversation to have with anyone that you come across, and I strongly recommend you just ask people that question. It does make one think. Everybody has a good story, and it's a very good way of getting into people's life stories. Well, this book is family memoir, and it goes back many generations of my family, and it's entirely about being middle class and sometimes upper middle class. I thought I would see if I could find any shred of working class branch, twig or root anywhere. Absolutely none. Never find anyone. Ah, there was somebody, my great-great-grandmother, who was a governess. Perhaps she was working class. No, she was just very well educated, middle class, fallen down a bit in the world. I think it's important to say, and I come from a background of generations and generations of privilege, of highly educated people. They were mostly professors. My great-grandfather was Gilbert Murray, who was the Regius Professor of Greek at Oxford. My grandfather was Arnold Toynbee, who was a distinguished universal historian, so passes the copies of his study of history. My father was a journalist, writer, and poet called Philip Toynbee, who wrote many books, but also was a literary critic of The Observer. And all of them highly educated and very serious about education. I think that the other thing that binds them all together that interested me, and that I write about in this book, is that they were all on the left. They were all liberals or leftists. My father was a communist for a while. They were, going back to the origins of this building, they were anti-colonialists, anti-imperialists. They were Irish home rulers. And they fought the good fight, very often losing, losing, and losing again, time and time again. As a minority on the left, which is very much what happens, they were, regarded as eccentrics on the whole. But the point about their social class and where they and what their views were is that they find it very embarrassing. And there are lots of comic stories in my book about the awkwardness of being middle-class leftist. Ah, they say, champagne socialist. David Cameron threw that one across the floor of the House of Commons at Ed Miliband. Or they say, hypocrite. How could you possibly be on it? As if somehow, by being middle class, by being privileged, you must ought to be a Tory. I find this a very eccentric way of seeing the world. But anyway, it led them to meet all sorts of often quite comic contortions, as they tried to square the unsquareable, the difficulties of being embarrassed by your privilege, being aware that the world was unjust, and that you, your children, your parents had all been privileged, and many others suffered as a consequence. Gilbert Murray, my great-grandfather, the one who was the Regius Professor of Greek, married into the aristocracy. He married Lady Mary Howard, who was the daughter of the Earl of Carlisle, owner of Castle Howard. And they always found that very awkward, too. She, because her mother fell out with all of her other 11 children and her sons, was handed Castle Howard and immediately gave it away again. It wasn't going to have anything to do with it. My grandfather, Arnold, was brought up with no money, very, very poor, because his father went mad and was in an asylum for 40 years. He had no money, but he had a high level of education. He was always contorted about questions of money and was so appalled by having it, he gave all of his earnings away to the Oxford University Press, which I don't think is a very good charity, and in exchange for having a small annuity, because he was so appalled about dealing with money. My father's even more contorted way of dealing with privilege was, quite late in life, to set up an agricultural commune, which was a calamity. And he advertised it in the alternative press, and a whole lot of hippies and other people came in to come and live in his house, which he cut up into little pieces. It turned out none of them wanted to do any agriculture at all. He was the only one who ever did any digging or looking after the cow. The others all wanted to go into the woods and chant om and things of that sort. And it all fell apart when a religious maniac took over, who later murdered somebody, and the whole thing was a calamity. But they were all dealing with that essential contradiction and the difficulties. And they were all great followers of lots of causes. I mean, was there progress? Yes, they saw progress in their own lifetime to some extent, but usually afterwards. Most of their causes were won after their death. I think the shock for me is that having had an education that taught me social history as the story of progress, factory acts, universal franchise, women's votes, increasing progress all the way through, including greater and greater equality right up to towards the end of the 1970s. And then the whole thing shot off and went into reverse in the 1980s. Inequality took off massively and has stayed at that very high plateau ever since. Inequality has become greater, opportunity less. We are less of a meritocracy than we were, not more. 50s, 60s, 70s, opportunities opened up, not necessarily through social policy, often just by economic facts of more white-collar jobs, fewer blue-collar jobs. But since the 1980s, the ladder up has got steeper and longer and fewer people climbing. And I find that very difficult to live with. I look back at my ancestors and think how shocked they would be to find that things have actually gone backwards. The class matters more, social mobility is less, birth is destiny more certainly than it was, and inheritance in terms of cash as well as education is much more important in terms of how young people do now. You've got parents who own property, you know, you're in with a chance. If you haven't, no chance. I think it's quite funny, middle classes often pretend that we're much more meritocratic than we are. There was a lovely bit of research at the LSE 2 years ago where they asked people of managerial and professional level what class they were. 47% said they were a working class. And they said, well, you know, how do you say you're working class? Well, then they'd say their parents were. Okay, but even if they had graduate parents, they'd say our grandparents were. Because everybody wants to believe that they have earned the place they've got in life. They don't want to believe that it's because of the good luck of birth, and that luck is so much of who is where most of the time in our lives and most of the way through society. Now, there are plenty of books written, admirable books, wonderful biographies like Lady Cissé and people like this, writing about overcoming appalling odds with amazing resilience to make it out of terrible circumstances into a very successful life. But I just felt that not many people have written about the experience and nature of privilege with honesty and said honestly, this is how lucky I've been. I've made mistakes all the way through my life, but every time I've been picked up, put back on my feet, mistakes haven't mattered to me. If you're a working class child, one mistake, you've probably had it, if you've ever had a chance in the first place. So that's what the book is about. It's got full of funny stories, ludicrous stories, tragic stories, but also this message about the nature of social class. Thank you.